Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Daytona 500 coming up Sunday, first big event of the NASCAR season. We're thrilled to have with us NASCAR Hall of Famer and Cup champion Rusty Wallace. Rusty, what's going on this morning?
Yeah, down here in Daytona Beach, guys, getting ready for the big 500. Kind of a quiet day here in Daytona right now, but on Thursday we got the duels, the twin duels, which lines everybody up for the Daytona 500. But right now the front row is all locked in from right. A couple of these Hendrick teammates. It's but right now we're looking for beautiful, clear skies, 78 degrees on race day, so everybody's pretty well jacked up about that.
That sounds good. You know, the aerodynamic package for the cars always seems to kind of change from year to year and fluctuate. How will that affect things Sunday in this race?
Well, Sunday, the rules last year for the Daytona 500 and the rules this year are exactly the same. There's no change at all, but what is different, as soon as they leave the Daytona 500 and head over to the next track over there in Atlanta, Georgia for round two of these 36 races on the Cup schedule, they got all new rules, completely different aerodynamics. They got cars that got more downforce, a lot less horsepower also, about 200 horsepower less. And what they're trying to accomplish is to get the cars to run closer together and have more passes. And this is something the fans are wanting real bad, and so NASCAR worked hard, and we're going to see if it works when we get to Atlanta.
You know, Jimmy Johnson got into a crash, then won the Clash race the other day. How do you think the crew chief change will work for him after so many years with Chad Knaus?
I think they just, Chad Knaus and Jimmy just got so stale, it was unreal. I mean, Jimmy's a seven-time champion. Man, he knows how to drive the car. Just don't forget how to drive. But they just lost their mojo. They just couldn't get any rhythm built. They couldn't get, every time they made a decision, it seemed like it was wrong of late. And finally, Mr. Hendrick, the car owner, so look, I can see the writing on the wall. This has just kind of ran its course, and we need to swap this thing up. And so they changed him around, and right off the bat, Chad Knaus got this new kid, William Byron, down here. He sits on the pole for the Daytona 500, and Jimmy Johnson, in his own right, the next day goes out and wins the Clash. I'm sorry, the same day, wins the Clash. So they both did good. It looks like Hendrick's decision worked out great.
Rusty, one more from me. This Hall of Fame class has to be special with Jack Roush and Davey Allison, among others. Can you speak about those guys real quick?
Yeah, I can. In fact, I was there for all 3 days for the Hall of Fame activities, and my car owner that I was in business with, Roger Penske, got inducted. And I'm telling you what, guys, it was such a big week. We had one of the biggest amount of people in the induction ceremony, about 3,000 people in attendance. Penske got in along with Davey Allison and Jeff Gordon, the guys you mentioned. And I'll tell you, it was really moving. It was an amazing deal. They listen to the history and see how a guy like Penske was so excited to be involved. They've always looked at him as like the IndyCar guy, and Roger, you know, even though he won a ton of stock car races with me and other drivers and a couple championships now, he just felt like he wasn't in the club, so to speak. But man, when they put him in that NASCAR Hall of Fame, it was the highlight of his life.
Our guest is Rusty Wallace, Cup champion and NASCAR Hall of Famer.
Well, Rusty, talking about Hall of Famers, I guess it makes you think about what drivers the face of NASCAR at this point in time.
Well, I'd say, you know, we've got all these new guys coming up, and we're definitely in a transition period. There's no doubt about that. You know, I quit driving a car in 2005. Jeff Gordon retired 4 or 5 years ago. Full time, and you got all these guys that left, Tony Stewart, to name a few. We lost Dale Earnhardt Sr. in 2001. You know, and the sport has really changed, and so now it's all about these new guys that are cultivating their skills. And there are some still familiar names like Chase Elliott, Bill Elliott's son. He's probably one of the top guys out there right now. He's looking good. So, if I had to say who's the lead guy right now that a lot of people look at, I'd say it's Chase Elliott.
Rusty, do you like the crackdown on cheating, that they're going to disqualify cars that don't pass inspection? In fact, 3 crew chiefs are suspended from the Daytona 500. Do you like those new rules?
I don't know, man. I like a little bit of the controversy, you know. I don't like being so squeaky clean and perfect, you know. And, I support whatever they do. I mean, this guy's getting they all get in a real big room. They make these decisions, and this is how this happens. But, you know, as a competitor, a guy that used to set up my own cars and work on the suspensions and the chassis and try to make them run real fast, along with a bunch of good guys helping. You know, we always want a little bit of flexibility, a little maybe gray area that you go down and get an advantage on somebody. And there's something for everybody to do that. Not to lock it down real, real tight is something that I'm not a big fan of, because there's a lot of times you go in here with no intention whatsoever to be illegal. And I'm talking about maybe the car runs the entire Daytona 500, and after the race is over, it comes in and the car is 30 thousandths of an inch too low, and you lose the race and you get thrown out for all this stuff. And it's like, things happen, you know. Now, if you go there with a big engine and you're just flat outright cheating with the big engine, yeah, throw your butt out. Or if you took your body and made it totally illegal and it's pretty obvious, yeah. But if this little tiny nothing that can move around during the race, you get busted for it afterwards. I don't like that type of stuff.
I remember through the years, you know, covering you when you'd come into Nashville and race out at the fairgrounds, and just remember the drivers that track produced. You know, Bobby Hamilton, Sterling Marlin. You know, Darrell, obviously. The way they find drivers today, Rusty, the way you came up, would you have made it to NASCAR? Would it have been more difficult for you and guys like that who came from here?
Well, look, back then, what they did, they looked for a driver that could just win, that could just get the job done. Nowadays, trying to find the money is so tough, it's unreal. So now it's almost a requirement is, hey, we need, you know, a good driver, but more, we need the money. And if we can get a driver to bring some finances with him so we can run this team, and he's not a great driver, I think that maybe we can teach him to be a great driver. But back then it was, hey, give me the best driver we got, the guy can get it done, and put him in the car. That's how I got in. If I was in that position now, I'd have to have a marketing degree also. I'd have to figure out how to, you know, to wrestle these sponsors on my camp to, they'll fund that car. And there's a lot of these young guys that are out there that are pretty good at that. And then there's some of them that just flat got in because they're talented. And that's one of them is just Chase Elliott. Chase just got in because he's just good. And he's a good marketing tool also. You got a kid like Ryan Blaney. He's on for Penske right now. Ryan got in my opinion, just because he's good. And then there's a handful of others out there that did it, you know, where they brought the money in and are honing their skills now also.
Do you like the direction NASCAR is going in terms of its leadership? There's been a lot of layoffs by NASCAR. You know, Brian France has had his own personal demons to deal with. But, you know, as somebody who's a Hall of Famer who cares deeply about the product, do you feel good about the direction that NASCAR is going, you know, especially at the beginning of this year?
The answer to that abruptly is yes. Yes, I feel good about it. And here's why. I feel good because Jim France has been a guy that everybody in this industry loves. But Jim said, okay, Brian, you're going to be the president of NASCAR, and Lisa, she is the CEO of International Speedway Corporation, and she handles all the racetracks, a lot of the properties and stuff. But Jim has kind of been one of the silent guys. The most powerful guy in NASCAR, Jim France, is. But he's been silent, and he's been responsible for putting all the road racing series back together. IMSA and all these guys that drew themselves apart, and now Jim has rebuilt that. And there was more cars and more manufacturers represented this year in the 24 hours of Daytona you've ever seen in your life. But when Brian had some of the issues he had and stepped down, Jim took over everything. And I will tell you, it's everybody in the garage area has loved that. I've had so many people come up to me and say, man, isn't it good seeing Jim walk around? And I told Jim the other day, I saw him at the office, so I stopped by there. And he said, man, I appreciate you saying that. I'm actually having a good time doing this, Rusty, and it's fun. And hey, it's all about the sport. And he knows what it takes. But everybody knows who's in charge. Everybody loves Jim France. They all love his direction. And Jim said, look, we got to shake this thing up. We organized a little bit. And unfortunately, like you said earlier, some of these guys got laid off. They made the operation leaner. But, you know, he loves NASCAR. Big time loves NASCAR. And he is working his butt off to get it back as close as it was back in the heyday.
Rusty, to finish up, you know, I was doing a little prep for an interview. I noticed a photo of your car with the old Miller genuine draft paint scheme. Which one did you like better than back in the day? That one with, you know, the gold and white, or the Blue Deuce that you drove for so much of your career?
Yeah, the Blue Deuce was a bad actor, no doubt about that. I won a ton of races that. But by far, the black and yellow Miller genuine draft car was the coolest looking car in NASCAR, in my opinion. The race fans loved it. That car's went up for a vote many times, and it has won the best car when it comes to paint schemes and stuff. But in 1993, I was Cinderella year for me, and I won 10 races in that black and yellow car. And that thing was just special to me. And I go back and look at that car, it's still a real sexy hot rod, man. That's a cool-looking car.
Rusty, thanks so much for the time. Looking forward to the season getting started on Sunday. We appreciate it this morning.
All right, man. Thank you very much. Tune in to MRN on this Sunday for the live coverage of the race. Myself and all the guys will be there announcing the 500. I'm looking forward to it.
Well, you guys do a great job. Thank you for the time.
All right, guys. Thanks.